Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Coming up in just a minute, Jeff Sintel may be a good friend of mine, but that will not stop me from putting him on the spot today. I want to find out exactly what he meant when he wrote the following words at DogNation.com. The Georgia fans have reason to get their hopes up about five-star quarterback Justin Fields. What exactly did Jeff mean by that? Just how much evidence is there that maybe Georgia, after Fields decommitted from Penn State, has kind of moved into a position to maybe secure Fields' commitment? I'm going to push Jeff on that today. We're going to find out today exactly just how tight and close the relationship is between Georgia and Justin Fields. Because, as you know, Georgia fans don't necessarily need a reason to get their hopes up. And here on Dog Nation Daily at times, we don't necessarily need a reason to get hopes up. We like the idea of connecting the dogs to big-time prospects. In this case, Jeff thinks there's maybe a legitimate reason to do that. We'll find out from Jeff about that coming up in just a moment. Before that, though, something interesting happened yesterday. I had Zach Abelverde on SEC Country Live. Zach, of course, covers Florida with a particular specialty when it comes to recruiting. Now, you know, those lousy, stinking Gators are also kind of in the mix here when it comes to Fields as well. And so wanted to talk to Zach about that from the SEC Florida perspective, kind of find out from Zach exactly what was going on there. In the midst of that conversation, this is relevant, by the way, for Georgia here, too. This is not, you know, just relevant for Florida, but for all those schools in the mix for Fields. Zach kind of let something be known, kind of interesting, that maybe because of how fast things are moving here, you're potentially talking about an accelerated timeline for Justin Fields in terms of making his announcement. Listen to Zach Abelverde. We had him on Dog Nation Daily earlier in the week, but this is from SEC Country Live yesterday. Take a listen.
He's really hit the ground running ever since he decommitted from the Nittany Lions. He's been visiting a bunch of schools and really trying to evaluate all his options. I think that he might make a decision maybe sooner than we expect. At one point, he was talking about taking official visits and maybe things would drag out into the fall. But now he's mentioned that maybe before his senior season, he would like to have a decision made.
And so, obviously, that in itself is not necessarily brand new information. Jeff Sintel has also written that at DogNation.com as well, that a lot of quarterbacks are like this. They don't want to go into a senior season making that decision about where they're going to go to college. That's a lot to think about while you're also trying to kind of finish off your high school career on a high note. A lot of these guys want to have it wrapped up before their senior year. In fact, most quarterbacks, it seems like these days, want to have it wrapped up before their junior year. We've seen that be the norm. Fields kind of breaking away from his commitment is kind of open the books back up here, so it seems reasonable that Fields would maybe want to get this done before senior season starts, games start to be played, and he has a chance to kind of go out and add to his legacy as a Georgia high school quarterback. However, that's not the only thing that Zach Abelverde said. In addition to saying get this wrapped up by, you know, the time that school starts and the time the senior year begins, Zach said maybe there's a chance it all happens even faster than that. Here's Zach Abelverde one more time.
With him visiting so many schools so soon, and this is going to be his second and in some cases third trip to all these campuses, I would think that after hitting all four schools next week, that he probably should have a good idea of where he wants to go. I think he'll take some time to reflect on all the visits and the process that he's been through. And maybe he makes a decision by the end of June, maybe it goes into July, but he's not wasting any time, that's for sure.
Can you imagine for a second? I mean, we already know that June has been busy for Georgia. The next few days probably going to be busy, too. And obviously, everyone's got June 27th circled on their calendar. That's the date that a five-star running back, Zamir White, is going to make his college announcement. Can you imagine if shortly on the heels of White making his decision one way or another, Justin Fields is also announcing something as well? We're talking about a roller coaster ride of emotions potentially for Georgia fans and around Dog Nation with big names like that coming off the board, maybe going into the 2018 class for Georgia or maybe going to a Georgia rival. Boy, these could be harrowing days coming up here around Dog Nation. Now, in terms of Georgia rivals and relationships with Justin Fields, the one thing I think we have to be honest about here is while Jeff seems to believe there is reason for Georgia fans to get their hopes up about Fields, Florida fans kind of feel that way, too, and obviously Zach's got that perspective. He knows the time that Fields has spent in Gainesville, the time he's planning to spend coming up, I think apparently as soon as this weekend. He knows the relationship that's there, and I think Georgia fans have to respect that bond, respect that tie between Fields and Florida. Zach talked a little more about that.
That will be his second visit to Florida in as many months, and the Gators have done a really good job of positioning themselves well in his recruitment. Jim McElwain and Doug Nussmeier, the offensive coordinator, have been recruiting him since January. They extended an offer to him in February, I believe, and they've really done a good job of making his parents and his family members aware of what Florida has to offer, of getting multiple family members on campus. I think Florida was actually the first school to do that outside of Penn State. So they've done some legwork here, and now I think that they have to fend off some of these other schools that have maybe gotten a little bit more in the mix, like Auburn, like Georgia, like Florida State.
So that's one of the reasons why I want to ask Jeff about his reasoning that Georgia fans should be excited and hopeful about Fields, because when you listen to Zach right there, it seems like Florida fans have a pretty good case of evidence, you know, family taking visits, the immediate need at the quarterback position. It seems like the sales pitch from Florida is pretty good too, so we'll do some comparing and contrasting with Jeff Sintel coming up on that in just a moment. But the overall point you have to make here is something that many Georgia fans, all Georgia fans, are probably aware of. This is obviously a game-changing decision one way or another, potentially, for Georgia. I mentioned Zamir White a moment ago, the five-star running back, and it's amazing how these two elite prospects, both similar and very different in a couple of regards. Similar in that they're the biggest of big names and the kinds of names that generate more excitement than almost any other player could on the air recruiting trail right now, the kind of name that every Georgia fan wants to listen and read as much about as they possibly can. What makes the two players different is, while Zamir White potentially fills an immediate need for Georgia in 2018, stepping in as a tailback with Sony Michel and Nick Chubb gone, I don't know that Zamir White necessarily has a lot of steam, or as we say in politics sometimes, coattails. The guy at the top of the ticket helps other people down the ballot win the votes. I don't know that what Zamir White's coattails would necessarily be. His commitment to Georgia, who else does he bring with him? On the other hand, though, while Justin Fields isn't an immediate need, Georgia's got two pretty good quarterbacks right now. Fields would certainly have a great chance of playing at some point, but immediately the real payoff and impact from Fields would be the fact that as a quarterback, he probably would bring a lot of players to Georgia with him. It's such a game changer. Anytime a quarterback makes a commitment to a program, you see all of a sudden those guys have a tendency to kind of become the Pied Pipers. And I think that's one of the reasons why both Georgia and Alabama have struggled a little bit here in the 2018 recruiting cycle, is because neither program has found its quarterback to kind of build as the centerpiece around that class just yet. So that's what Fields could potentially provide for Georgia. The overall bottom line, though, is, as we said a moment ago, Florida, much like Florida State and Auburn and, maybe LSU if they're still in the mix here, there's some other schools that have some offers they can make to Fields, and those are probably pretty good sales pitches. But it seems like experts that know, including our Jeff Sintel, it seems like the Georgia offer here is pretty good too, including the pull of playing for the home state program and being a part of what is potentially a nicely growing lineage of very good Georgia quarterbacks. It sounds like that's kind of an impressive sales pitch for Justin Fields as well, and we'll wait to see how it all unfolds. My name's Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. It is good to have you with us here on Dog Nation Daily. On video today, Facebook Live, 10 a.m. Last time on video for a while. I'm gone all next week on vacation. So check us out on Facebook Live at 10 a.m. I'll be back again next Monday for that. But today and every day, we are on the radio and in podcast form. On the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. You can find us in podcast form, iTunes, SoundCloud. We post the show at dognation.com. Wherever you go for podcasts, you can find Dog Nation Daily, and we'd love to have you check out the program in podcast form if you have not heard it that way yet. Also, love to have you check out dognation.com. Go there. You can get signed up, registered for your chance to win our R.S. Andrews Dog Nation Daily giveaway for the big one in South Bend this September. If you haven't filled in your information, go there and do that. Drawing's coming up in just a few days. I'll make the announcement live here on Dog Nation Daily. So if you haven't gotten in, get in right now, courtesy of R.S. Andrews, your chance to win that. Of course, when you think about R.S. Andrews, make sure that you keep cool this summer. They want you to do that no matter how hot it gets, because they are the home of the $99 AC tune-up. Don't let your air conditioning go on the hottest day of the summer. Get it tuned up with the folks from R.S. Andrews. Their clean screen, trained, and timely techs will give your system a thorough check, and they're going to guarantee it all summer. Don't let it slide. Call the ones I trust. R.S. Andrews, online at rsandrews.com. I'll also tell you, 133 days away from Georgia, Florida. It's our Gator Hater Countdown, world's largest outdoor cocktail party. Count it down with us by going to shopdognation.com. Get your very own Dog Nation Daily Gator Hater t-shirt with the Dog Nation Daily logo on the sleeve. The Gatorhater license plate on the front, all the sizes and free shipping. It's all there for you at shopdognation.com. Hope you will check that out. As promised, Jeff Sintel here coming up in just a moment. It's great to have you with us here on Dog Nation Daily. Hope you enjoy Jeff Sintel right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
And I'll say hello to a Jeff Sintel here. It's always great to have him with us on Dog Nation Daily, especially on a day like this. And Jeff, I joked a moment ago to start the show that even though you're my good friend, I am still going to put you on the spot about something. I'm going to do that coming up in just a moment. You said that there's reason for Georgia fans to get their hopes up about Justin Fields. We want to find out a little bit more about some of those reasons. We'll do that with you coming up in just a moment. However, before we get into that particular subject, would you mind commenting a little bit on the timeline for Fields? You wrote about the possibility that he's probably going to make his commitment before his senior season begins. We've also heard some people say that maybe it even happens late June, early July, that we could be, frankly, only a couple weeks away from Fields ultimately making a choice after sort of making this barnstorming tour around the South. How quickly is all this going to unfold with this five-star quarterback?
Man, Brandon, I think you'd love it if I said June 27th, right around midnight. Huh? Would you like that?
We'll play a little doubleheader with Zamir White that day. That doesn't sound like a bad idea.
It'd be a 10-star day for the Bulldogs there. Brandon, I think Justin's situation is pretty more calculated than a lot of people perceive it to be. I would be surprised if he goes into his senior season. I'm even thinking early August. And he's still figuring this out. I know he's going to catch a lot of questions this weekend at the IMG National 7-on-7s. He's going to catch. He just caught a lot of questions at Florida State when he visited there this week. He's going to. And by the way, that was very interesting. I don't know if everybody checked into the reports coming out of Tallahassee, but while Justin Fields was throwing at Tallahassee, there's Jimbo Fisher in his looks like a Rolls Royce of. Basically an expedition-type-looking golf cart, garnet and gold, burgundy and gold. And then you've got basically every offensive coach, offensive skill player, receiver, running back, Cam Akers and the like, checking out and watching Justin Fields throw. So he definitely drew a crowd. Then he's going to go to the opening. Then he's going to catch all those questions again for about 4 or 5 days. And I would think that Justin Fields might have his decision made, I would think, early August. I might even think he might have his decision made in July. It's just the sort of thing that you have to have a certain mindset to weather all this when you're a five-star quarterback, especially a quarterback when all these college programs want you to weigh in early. And the one thing that I think is different about Justin Fields is he still maintains he's going to play his senior season of high school baseball, going to give all those professional baseball scouts maybe all the chances in the world to maybe think if they can count up to $2 or $3 million or $1 million on that end. But I do think because he's not enrolling early, might mean it may go a little bit, you know, mid-August, late August, because he doesn't have to make his decision. And by not enrolling in January, no matter how talented he is, it doesn't really set up well for him to, like, claim a starting job at any school that he's looking at. And really the schools he's looking at right now, with the exception of Florida and Malik Zaire being a one-year rental off to the NFL, there's really not a wide-open spot for him to come in and claim a job at Auburn. Maybe if Jared Stidham has an all-world first season, maybe. Has like a Mitch Trubisky-type year, maybe. But then Florida State already has a very talented passer as well, and I think everybody that's listening in right now pretty much knows where Georgia's depth chart shapes up right now.
So that's really interesting the way that you just described that. Because when I look at the Florida situation, what I assume is not so much that maybe Zaire moves on the NFL, but he's just not that good, and Florida has no problem kind of kicking him to the curb and potentially making Fields the starter, which is why I think it's interesting that, you know, from your perspective at DogNation.com, we enjoyed reading this piece, that you think there are some favorable signs potentially pointing Fields towards Georgia. And if you wouldn't mind kind of diving into some of that here a little bit with us, because when I look at the pitch that Auburn's making, the one that Florida's making, and Florida State, too, with its pedigree of, you know, first-round draft pick quarterbacks in recent years, I can certainly understand why the pull to those other schools would be strong, especially with Eason and Fromm on campus at Georgia. But it sounds like you think that potential tie between Fields and Georgia is also maybe just as strong.
Yeah, family bond right there. Jaden Fields, his sister, 2019 softball commit. That's something that no other school can factor in terms of their big picture and the puzzle. I do think Justin Fields realizes what Georgia's building on the offensive line and what they will always have at running back. Those will be very favorable situations for him. He does understand Georgia football. He's told me he's grown up as a fan, and he said many times that the last time Georgia won an SEC championship was with a dual-threat quarterback.
Yeah.
The main number for Georgia there is two scholarship quarterbacks. Neither one of those are a dual threat. And if you want to look at skill sets, somebody come in during the red zone package, someone come in during fourth and two, someone come in when you're facing Vanderbilt and the hottest inside linebacker in the SEC, and you try to run something out wide with a non-Nick Chubb member, I think that play call would have been different if a Justin Fields was on the roster at Georgia. I just think Georgia, home state, easier. There's definitely a connection there with Georgia. Georgia, remember, offered Fields and has been recruiting him as an offered guy longer than anyone except Penn State that are kind of in his final roll call here. And another thing I think of here, Brandon, is Georgia was the first visit after his decommitment, first public visit after his public decommitment. And you say, oh, come on, Santel, man, it's the closest visit. Well, Auburn, home of Cam Newton, home of his favorite player growing up. The reason why he wears number one, his 7-on-7 offensive coordinator and coach, those are all things that work in Auburn's favor. And yet the first trip after he made his decommitment to go see a school, even the middle of his busy June, was to the campus of the University of Georgia. So those are all those things. And you know, Brandon, I'm gonna preempt your on the spot question.
Okay.
You ask me, I'm not the ball business. I don't like, you know, throwing things out there recklessly. A lot of prospects have told me they're not really big fans of that.
I understand.
My educated guess on this is I kind of think it's either going to be Florida State or Georgia.
Wow.
That's kind of the what. If you had to ask me right now where Fields is going, those are the two schools right now that I think the combination of all those things have the best chance to land Justin Fields.
One of the things I touched on briefly a moment ago was what a potential game changer this is for Georgia in its 2018 class, not just because you add a quarterback, but also because these quarterbacks have a way of being Pied Pipers. And I'm a big believer that it's not a coincidence that Georgia and Alabama have struggled in recruiting. Neither program has its quarterback in place. I just think that's the centerpiece, nucleus you build around. When you don't have that to build around, it's almost like there is no you know, true north for that class. If Georgia brings in Fields, then all this hand-wringing that I did back in, you know, April and May about where the commitments are and where the 4- and 5-star names are, you add a Fields, all of a sudden, you may not have to worry about that too much, because I have a tendency to believe he's probably going to be a Pied Piper that brings some people with him.
Brandon, I'm going to just kind of try and blow the doors off your eardrum today on your get-out-of-town day of your Dog Nation Daily. I talk to a lot of recruits, and a lot of recruits kind of tell me that the Georgia coaches kind of laugh at all the headlines about, woe is Georgia, they can't put together back-to-back strong classes, yada, yada, yada. Those coaches, according to the recruits I talk to, feel very bullish about what they're going to build in 2018. But all those gifts haven't been unwrapped under the tree yet. So that's something for the fan base to pay close attention to over the next 4 or 5 months.
Well, that is a really interesting thought to have in your mind. I appreciate you sharing with that. Okay, so there has been some internet message board chatter as of late. And I butcher this name every time I ask about him. But the big guy down from IMG Academy, TK Chimdeza. For some reason, this name is impossible for me. I have no idea why I butcher this name. Any reason to think that things are looking good between Georgia and Chimdeza right now?
Wow. I think the tea leaves right there, the green right there is, man, an uphill putt with a 7-cup break going downhill. I think a lot of people are kind of curious to see what's happening with TK Chimdeza. I mean, he's out of Atlanta. I hear Duke a lot. I hear Georgia Tech a lot. Georgia, I think, would be the school if they ever came to him and pressed him and say, hey, you're one of the three defensive tackles we want. We want your commitment at any time. I don't know if Georgia's really doing that. You know, their board is kind of unsettled at D-tackle. Some people think Kingsley Enagbare is the guy at defensive tackle. Some people think that Emmett Gooden is the guy, the JUCO talented JUCO guy out of Kansas. I think Stephon Wynn is a guy out of IMG that Georgia also kind of looks as one of their inside-outside guys on the defensive line. I think there's kind of a lot of names, and another name I think Georgia really thinks it has a good shot with, I don't even know if we've talked about him a lot, is I'm going to call him, and goodness gracious, Brandon, I think you should probably say some good things for the state of North Carolina over the summer.
For sure.
Because a dog fan might be sitting there saying, thank you, Tar Heel State, for what the state of North Carolina can do for the class of 2018. Potentially there's Rick Sandage, that's the guy I'm talking about, a four-star defensive tackle who has just simply eviscerated, destroyed, annihilated, exploded, ran through, pick your adjective on a Friday, whatever you want to do to describe it, the verb. He has destroyed and just kind of mesmerized a lot of the recruiting analysts out there that have seen what he's did at the Nike opening camp, what he did at the five-star challenge. He's just got off a trip to Michigan. Georgia really recruits him heavily, and I think that's another guy. You know, Sandage looks like a defensive end, moves like a defensive end, but he's definitely a defensive tackle. Very aggressive player, one of those high-motor, high-energy guys. If you had to ask me, I think Sandage might be one of those ideal 1A, 1B type guys for Georgia at defensive tackle. And that's where everything kind of gets muddied about. You know, the other thing with this class, I don't even know if we've talked about it a lot, Brandon, is a lot of people think all these guys are waiting to figure out what they want to see about Georgia. The record narrative, how well they'll play, how much of these freshmen will play, which guys will go early. There's also a component there, and I think defensive tackle is a good spot where Georgia is actually looking at these guys and thinking, which ones do we want in terms of the ones that they'll accept commitments from and which ones they are highest on. I think Georgia, the way they're operating this summer, they find themselves in the position where they're thinking, do we want this guy, or this guy? Who are our top two? We're only going to take three. I think they're being very measured in some of their approaches with a lot of these guys in terms of who's the guy, who they want, who will be the eventual fits for them on the defensive line.
Yeah, so I don't like that crackling thin cornbread. I don't like that really vinegary barbecue sauce from North Carolina. But I guess I do like a lot of their high school football prospects. That's a really good point, Jeff.
You know, you got to think, okay, obviously there's Z-Day on June 27th. That's Zamir White. Continue to hear things up and down for Georgia about him. You know, then you've got Rick Sandage out of North Carolina. You've got K.J. Henry, also the big defensive end out of North Carolina. Leaning towards Clemson there a lot, but Georgia does have a shot with K.J. Henry. He just visited Georgia this week. You know, quietly, man, if Georgia lands any two or one or three of those guys come National Signing Day, the biggest recruiting state for Georgia outside of the state of Georgia, and maybe not too far outside of the state of Georgia, could potentially be North Carolina. And a lot of that, quite frankly, has to do with some of the connections that Trey Scott built in the state of North Carolina when he was there as a defensive line coach. Hope all the fans saw when Trey Scott's contract details were released on Dog Nation.
Good point.
Hope all the fans saw that he had a 2-year deal and not a 1-year deal to come away from Ole Miss. So that's also something that shows just how much Georgia values Trey Scott.
Talk to me about Kyler McMichael here for a minute. He puts out his top six, a lot of big names, Georgia right there side by side. How are things with Georgia McMichael? It seemed like, based on kind of what I think some of the stuff that you had written recently, that maybe he might be trending away from UGA a little bit. It seems like his relationship with Auburn here pretty good. I know that our colleague at SEC Country, Ben Wolk, has written about that a little bit. So where do things stand with Georgia McMichael right now?
Well, McMichael's a guy that's a very nice kid. You know, Georgia kind of comes at him with the approach that he could be an eventually down the line a two-way player for the Bulldogs. You know, I think he's a corner, and he understands the business decision there of playing cornerback for Georgia or any school that he's looking at in his top six. I think Clemson is a team to think about there. He has been recruited very heavily by Georgia. I think Georgia's dream defensive back class would include Kyler McMichael, would include Chris Smith, would include a guy like Trey Dean. Wild Goose is already on board, and obviously Tyreek Johnson. I know a lot of readers on our message board that hit that thing up every day looking for nuggets and bits and pieces. They always clamor that that would be their dream defensive backfield class for 2018. And I think Kyler McMichael is a guy that, you know, college scouts look at him and they wonder if he's a running back or not. But he is 6 foot. He's about 200 pounds. Very strong, very tough, very fast, very smart player. And his 7-on-7 team just claimed the first day of the Kirby Cup of the 7-on-7 high school team championships there at Georgia this week. Colquitt County just won one yesterday. Kyler Michael is a guy, Greater Atlantic Christian, that's been tested a lot, and I'll see him at the opening in Oregon, and we'll really find out whether he is maybe one of the nation's top 15 to 20 cornerbacks or whether he's one of the nation's top 5 or top 10 cornerbacks. I'll be looking to see a lot out of McMichael that week in Oregon.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Really good stuff when it comes to a Jeff's intel on that recruiting trail. And y'all know I like Jeff, but you want to talk about a guy who just brings it each and every single time. Full of information, opinion, analysis, and a lot of fun, too. So you just love Jeff's intel on Dog Nation Daily, and we're certainly glad to have him as a part of our team. Of course, he's also going to be with us for our Dog Nation invasion to South Bend. We'll talk about fun. We're going to have a blast on this trip. And, of course, it's brought to you in part by our friends at Marlowe's. Be in the know. Sign up to be a Marlowe's insider to receive exclusive offers and event invitations. Text Marlowe's at 242-24. Right, let me try that one more time. Text Marlowe's at 24242 today. Do that because wine lists beat to-do lists every single time. It's our friends at Marlowe's. They're with us for the Dog Nation Invasion to South Bend. There will be SEC Country Live next week. I won't be a part of it. I'll be on vacation. I'll look forward to seeing you again the following Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern time, though, for SEC Country Live on the SEC Country Facebook page. Let me talk some SEC stories here for a moment, and I'm going to kind of do a lot of these because it'll be my last time to talk about some of this for a few days here. I thought our colleague Christopher Walsh from SECCountry.com had a really interesting piece about Alabama when it comes to fumbles. And what he showed is that last year, Alabama, at least in terms of the Saban era, had an irregular number of fumbles, had 26 last year, which is more than they've had in any other year in the Saban era. They had 24 in a national championship season in 2012, had 20 back in Saban's first year of 2007, but for the most part, well below that 26 fumbles for Alabama last year. Now, the good news for the Tide a season ago was they only lost 10 of those. But here's why that might actually be bad news this upcoming year. Because in a given year, your fumbles lost versus fumbles that you fall back on top of again should be about 50-50. So actually, Alabama caught a bit of a break last year. Fumbled at 26, only lost at 10. You know, statistics have a way of not working out quite perfectly, but assuming there's a bit of a give back here in 2017, that means a few more turnovers this season for an Alabama offense. And I don't know that adding a couple extra turnovers to Alabama this year is going to help. I know that I'm kind of on an island on this, but I say this all the time. Nick Saban has gotten too cute with his Alabama offense. He had no cause recourse whatsoever to send Lane Kiffin packing for the national championship game last season. He lost that game because of it. It's a micromanagement that has hurt Alabama bad there. I say this all the time. We like people who are committed to excellence. We don't like perfectionists. Think about the people in your life who are striving to be the best they can be. That's a good person. You want to spend more time around that person. Think about that person that's a perfectionist, though. That's not the kind of person you want to live with, work with, be around, because perfectionists have a way of being self-sabotaging. In this case, I believe that Saban is self-sabotaging his offense. I think the hire of Brian Daboll is a disaster. I think this is an attempt by Saban to kind of get his claws and hooks back into the offensive philosophy of Alabama once again. I don't think Daboll's going to be a good tutor for Jalen Hurts, who I don't think is a very good quarterback. And additional fumbles, and that data from Christopher Walsh suggests to me there will be a few more turnovers for Alabama this season. I think that only hurts the situation there. Which, by the way, brings us to the next story here. Ben Kirchwell goes on the Paul Feinbaum show yesterday to kind of explain why it was that he thinks there will be a regular package of plays for Alabama backup quarterback Tua Tagovailoa this season. Y'all know me. I don't think this is controversial. I think Tua is going to play for Alabama this season because I don't think Hurts is very good. NFL scouts will tell you that. NFL scouts had a hard time evaluating Alabama wide receivers this past year because they believed that Hurts couldn't get him the football. Well, Tua is a much better passer, and at a certain point in time, you know, no matter how much football is changing, and it's not changing that much, the better passer is still the better quarterback, and Tua, on paper, on film, looks to be a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts. So Kirchwell has to explain this, but for me, it's nothing that really needs explaining. Maybe it's a special package for a while, but eventually Tua is going to be the Alabama quarterback, and Jalen Hurts is going to figure out what's next for him. But for those of you who've gotten tired of the Alabama story, this may be a fun year to watch and peer into the SEC. I think there's going to be a little bit of a change to that Alabama story. An offense that does not pace itself nearly as well. I don't think Alabama's the best team in the league or the SEC West. I think the offense is going to sputter, and I think it's going to be a really interesting year to kind of watch all of that play out. The team I do think is going to win the SEC West, I know some of y'all don't like this, but I got to call them like I see them. That is Auburn. One of the reasons why I like Auburn is because of Jared Stidham. Thought it was interesting that a couple different writers, Matt Brown, used to be with NBC Sports, now with Sports on Earth. He's got Stidham as the number one transfer quarterback. So does Bill Bender from the Sporting News. I think this is true. I mean, I just think it's almost objectively true. When you look at what Stidham was able to do at Auburn, and we had a commenter on SEC Country Live yesterday, and I thought this was a really good point, that Stidham was a part of a Baylor offense that throws it deep down the field. And when you bring that into the SEC, that's something that SEC quarterbacks haven't always done well enough, haven't always done enough. I think that extra dimension could make Auburn dangerous. There's no doubt about it to me that Georgia traveling to Auburn in November is clearly Georgia's toughest game. When we see those point spreads emerge, we're going to see Georgia, a point spread underdog in that game. I think it could be somewhat significant, more than a field goal, maybe veering in the direction of a touchdown. That's what I think about Auburn this season. Doesn't mean that Georgia won't have a chance to win that game. They may very well beat Tigers again. They've certainly been doing that a lot recently. But when you sort of measure them on paper, the Auburn game for Georgia is the toughest, and Stidham at quarterback is the thing that makes it so. This is not Jeremy Johnson. The Jeremy Johnson hype was completely misguided. There's a lot more to back it up and verify when it comes to Stidham. I think one way or another, Auburn's a pretty good team and the kind of opponent that Georgia fans ought to respect. As a matter of fact, I think Georgia and Auburn are going to play twice this year in the SEC Championship and in that game in November at Jordan-Hare Stadium. But while I'm on the subject of transfer quarterbacks, it's kind of funny when you get ready to go on vacation, your mind kind of wanders and you're thinking about all these different things. There is something else that kind of popped into my mind that I couldn't help but think that this could make college football kind of interesting this year, because you've got, in addition to some quarterbacks coming into the SEC, like Stidham from Baylor and Malik Zaire, who was at Notre Dame, you've also got quite a collection of former SEC quarterbacks going outside of the SEC, and they're going to be playing this year. And I think what these other quarterbacks do at their new spot, boy, I think that could really create some storylines for the old SEC school they used to play for. Let me give you a few examples of what I'm talking about. Let's say that I'm right about the Alabama quarterback situation. Now, I'm wrong all the time, and this is a little bit of an out there opinion. So maybe I'm wrong about Jalen Hurts. Maybe Hurts capitalizes on his SEC Player of the Year performance last year, and he's even better this year. I think I will be right. I think Hurts will struggle, but let's say that I'm right about that here, just for a moment. How interesting is it going to be if you're watching Arizona State this year with Blake Barnett at quarterback, the former Alabama guy on campus, never won that job, was a highly regarded prospect, but just didn't work out for him really there. He goes out, going to be at Arizona State, a program that's moved the football before. What if Barnett has a big year? How much are Alabama fans going to be reminded of, hey, maybe we let the wrong quarterback go not too long ago, and maybe having him back on campus might be a good idea? There could be some angst there because of that. If that's true for Barnett with Alabama fans, that is especially going to be true for Florida when it comes to watching Will Grier, their former quarterback, who left the program in kind of, you know, murky circumstances. He was suspended, had the drug issue, the performance-enhancing drug issue, was suspended by the NCAA, which is kind of a rare thing to have happen, but it happened to Florida. And then after that, he never came back and just ended up at West Virginia. He's going to be playing this year. Dana Holgerson's the head coach. That's an offensive-minded guy. They're kind of switching things up. I think, is it Jake Spavital that's the offensive coordinator there, the guy that was at Texas A&M for a while? I think he's the OC at West Virginia now. I'm pretty sure I'm right about that. One way or another, though, the Mountaineers like to move the football. They expect to move the football, and I think Will Grier probably moves it for them. I think point blank, Will Grier's going to be a better quarterback at West Virginia than Malik Zaire is going to be at Florida. And I do think Zaire is going to beat out Felipe Franks for that job. But the better quarterback is going to be Grier at West Virginia. Don't you think that's going to be fun, watching those Florida fans squirm about that? Realizing that, hey, maybe they did have a quarterback, but for whatever reason, they either let him get away or he did get away. I think that could be kind of something to watch. And, of course, Georgia fans not immune from this either. You've also got Jacob Park at Iowa State. Now, Iowa State's got a bunch of quarterbacks, so I don't really know what the future even holds for Park necessarily, but That'll also be something to watch. Brandon Harris at North Carolina, the former LSU quarterback. I think Harris is going to have a pretty good year. I think he's going to do better in the Larry Fedora offense than he ever did working with Cam Cameron at LSU. I think LSU fans are definitely going to think, why wasn't Harris this good when he's in Baton Rouge? I think he'll just be better in Chapel Hill. That's a program that is pretty good at sort of developing quarterbacks. They certainly got Trubisky into the first round of the NFL draft. I think Harris will do well there. You also have Kyle Allen, the former Texas A&M quarterback at Houston. Frankly, that's not that big of a deal because Texas A&M quarterbacks transfer all the time. At this point, Aggies fans are probably used to watching their quarterbacks playing all over the country. But nonetheless, kind of an interesting thing to watch for, and we'll make that your SEC through. All right, quick programming note here. So this is my final day here doing Dog Nation Daily Live. I am in the midst right now in the oven cooking up some fresh episodes for next week, though. We'll be on the radio. We'll be podcast form, iTunes, SoundCloud, DogNation.com. No video next week, though. So 10 a.m. Facebook Live. We'll take a week off from that, but we'll remind you to be back with us the following Monday because we'll be looking forward to being back on video once again for Dog Nation Daily Live. Also want to say thank you to all of you who've been with us throughout the entire offseason, including this summer. Now, next week, hope you'll enjoy the programs we are pre-recording. We think they're going to be a lot of fun, too, but we appreciate you checking that out. As a way of also kind of providing a little content to close out the week here, that was interesting from Barton Simmons, 24/7 Sports, who made a case that South Carolina has a better chance of winning the division than it does of missing a bowl, suggesting the Gamecocks may be pretty good. Interesting for the SEC East race, but also maybe a high-profile home game for Georgia this fall as well. We'll see how it goes. Have a great week. I'll talk to you next Monday.